Greetings, Alpha Seekers, and welcome to Nugent Ventures for MLK Day. So the markets, I'm not watching CNBC today. Nor Bloomberg. I had dropped Bloomberg, and I picked it back up, so I have something to watch. And they're doing commercials, paid infomercials. So nothing to report from CNBC or anything. So we'll rely exclusively on the exciting Nugent Ventures LinkedIn page, which never sleeps. We work 365 days a year on that. So let's tell you what we have to tell you there. The housing market tells the whole story. Yeah, let's see. Let me get this thing queued up here for you. Okay, it's going to be a quick one. Yeah, the housing market tells the whole story. This is a article from Yahoo Finance, and I'm just going to leave it at that. You can read that if you so desire. It's out there. Posted something about Vedanta Biosciences, and Pfizer has invested $25 million. And Pfizer's, they're no fools at Pfizer. And there's three other companies that they mention in the article. Honestly, I don't know if they're publicly traded or not, but take a look at that, and I think we will. The vaccine trade, to me, is kind of over. You know, you've got a lot of them coming out now, but there are still companies that are in the hunt and are probably going to finish way toward the end of the pack. I don't know that I would invest in them, but CureVac is one of them, and they're looking at production, or Bayer's looking at a production agreement with them. So, you know, who knows? But the way these stocks are trading now, I don't think these are slam dunks anymore, for sure. And then there's another article about new drugs and injections to overcome challenges in COVID-19 antibody therapies. 21 hours ago, I put out Mohammed El-Arian is now the president of King's College, I believe, in the UK. And he cites four things that could pop the rational bubble in equities, and really none of them are very threatening. So therefore, he is a cautious bull like I am. I think there's more risk to the upside than the downside for the foreseeable future. And I think that's all we've put up. So this is really going to be a very brief episode. And that's okay. I continue to read the book by Charles Homer Haskins about the Normans in European history. And it's interesting because, you know, within the context of the arc of history here in the last 40 years, you know, since the Reagan and Thatcher revolutions, basically they were anti the central state, the powerful central state. And the whole Norman MO was basically to establish a powerful centralized state. And that debate between the commoners in England and the Norman aristocrats is really, I mean, it's a replay of the ancient aristocrat versus the common people argument that goes back to Greece and Rome, as far as we know in recorded history. You know, the power structure versus the powerless, or, you know, less powerful. But that's essentially what happened in this country in the agrarian South versus the Puritan industrialized North, too. You know, that's been kind of the axis of our history and world history. And that plays out today with the Republican Party kind of being the antithesis of the Norman centralized government model. So I think that's
what's manifesting as we look at the world today, the country today, certainly. And to me, this assault on Congress was kind of the last hurrah of that Reagan revolution, in the sense that government is not the solution, it's the problem, that whole mentality. Because it's getting to the point where, you know, what drives the power of the state is the exchequer, is the money, right? And the limitations on the state were basically fiscal. And today, there is no limitation there. I mean, both parties have abandoned any semblance of fiscal responsibility or monetary responsibility. So you have an infinite franking privilege, an infinite coinage, seigniorage privilege. And if you can create money, then you've created power, until such time as the money doesn't have any power. And I think for some time, the U.S. dollar will have power. But that's also what's playing out in the crypto market. You know, I think the rise of Bitcoin has kind of replaced gold as the trade for people who think that the currency is being debauched and want a hard asset that's not a physical asset. There are other places to play that, like the equity market, and that's also what's driving the equity pricing. You know, you can't be in cash because it's losing value and it's not generating any interest income. And that's all the power of the state. So, you know, what's playing out right now is the Trump thing basically being an expression of the populist anti-centralized government aspect of the body politic. And the Democrats have basically become the party of centralized government. So they're kind of the inheritors of that Norman tendency toward organization and bureaucracy and rule of law and all that sort of thing. So that's one way to look at it. And you know what? I'm a Norman. So that's kind of in my blood. But you can see where certain things in the modern world certainly will work better in a centralized state. Healthcare, public health, the vaccine thing, if we do it locally, it's not working well, which is not that surprising. Healthcare itself, Medicare for all, if you had a centralized database, it'd be a lot easier to do what we're trying to do here. So I think that's kind of the arc of history here, and you've got the money for the moment, at least, to finance it. For the foreseeable future. So honestly, that anti-federalist argument, that, you know, the Hamilton versus Jefferson thing, is frankly getting a lot harder if you're trying to argue the Jeffersonian position, because the world has changed. But these themes were always there and go back into the mists of time. So it's nothing new. And there's certainly nothing new about revolutionary storming of the Bastille types of things by the people. And in this case, it's the people of probably the right versus the left, and the white versus the color. But that just happens all the time in history. But I think that, in effect, you know, you kind of have capitulation on the part of the conservative philosophy here, and it's going to have to reform. And it's a tough argument to make in this kind of a environment. Someday, when the dollar is no longer the reserve currency, and when the dollar is no good, you'll probably revert back to some other sovereign currency, or, you know, get back to a crypto or gold or private market, private company valuation. But for the moment, I mean, the whip hand, you know, you've got Bernie Sanders with his, as the exchequer here, and he is going to be shoveling money out. So, all very stimulative in the short run. Bullish in the short run. The long run, we shall see. So, anyway, that is it. And that's the way I see it today on Martin Luther King's birthday. And I may see it different tomorrow. I always reserve the right to change my mind. When the facts change, so does my view. As I think Disraeli said it. I don't know who. But somebody said it, and I say it all the time. So, live long, prosper, stay safe, and we will talk to you tomorrow and have some market news. Bye-bye.